not just Brother Ricky. I was talking about Ricky and Andrea and the incredible impact they've had on Crooked Creek over the last many years. I think you folks are aware of that and know that. And just by the serving that they've done, the serving spirit and attitude, you're hard-pressed to lay your hand on a project around this church if they haven't had their hands on it one time or another. And, I have always felt like there is a special opportunity and obligation to listen to those who really serve the Lord, really have a servant spirit. Because they are closer to the attitude of our Lord than anybody else. The Bible says that Jesus Himself, the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And these folks have certainly done it. So when Ricky stands up to speak, I always particularly listen to him. And he has just been a good friend to me. He's been a loyal, just a wonderful, wonderful person to have on staff and to be there, serve at my side. And I remember, it's odd, I remember the first days when he came on staff, when he would work on Friday here. I was just as giddy as a little kid because I had somebody to share the work with. And we have spent many a happy hour down at Strickland's Restaurant discussing church business. Y'all know that, right? Down there eating country ham and discussing church business, ruining our bodies and strengthening our souls, huh, Brother Rick? So anyway, just very, very happy to have him coming preaching for us today. I know one thing about Rick and all the other guys who preach around here, and that is they're going to open the book and they're going to tell you what the Bible says. So, Rick, come on and do that for us, if you will, brother.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Well, I was just going to say, you hardly missed a word that I wrote down. You did a great job. The only thing you missed was that thing about the money. But I'll take care of that. All right. Well, turn this down just a hair, darling. I can say that because that's my daughter back here. In case y'all hadn't turned around and see that, I'm not... That's not my wife back there. She does many other things in the church, but that's not one of them that she wants to do. Tonight, it's an interesting thing. The preacher kind of made mention of this just a few minutes ago, but it's kind of an interesting thing. The pastor actually called me, in the last week? We started talking about he was going to give his voice a rest, and we were discussing about who would preach tonight, whether it be myself or Brother Matt. Well, last Sunday night, y'all heard Matt's voice just fade out during the praise dinner out there. And so when he sent me an email on Monday morning and said, "It's you," I was already preparing. I thought, okay, I know with Matt's voice like it is, I'm going to be ready. So I was already preparing. So I started getting ready. And, of course, this is Thanksgiving week. With all the other things going on, there was a lot of things going out there. But I was determined, and I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I had everything exactly like I wanted until about 2 o'clock this morning. And the Lord changed it just a little bit about 2 o'clock this morning. And it's interesting because the way that He changed it. The pastor was preaching this morning, and we were laughing about it at the back door. The pastor was talking about the fullness of the Spirit, and that's exactly the passage that the Lord had led me to. So you get a double dose of it tonight. Now, his was right. Mine would probably be wrong, but that's all right. You just stay with me and laugh and amen and oh man whenever you have to, and the preacher will straighten all of it out next week. So just take your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Right and writer. Yeah. One of the things that I've been doing since the tent meeting in particular is listening to a lot of good preachers. I found a few websites that I can actually listen to some old recordings. The Curtis Hudson video that we saw here a few weeks ago, that was one that I had found looking through some of his old stuff. I'd sent it to Matt. It got from Matt to the preacher, and then you all got to see it. There's been several other things that I've seen like that. And Dr. Hudson has really influenced a lot of the things that have been going on in my life. One of the things that the tent meeting actually brought me to face-to-face with was the shortness of time that we actually have. And if you've listened to Dr. Hudson very much, you know that one of the things he was probably one of the greatest soul winners in this part of the country. And his church was probably one of the biggest soul-winning churches in this part of the country. And he was some of the things that I've heard and I've listened to have really hit home with me, because that's something God is really working on in my life, and that's the shortness of time and the need for us to go out and soul win and compel those to come in. I had gotten very slack in that when I first came to the church, and the pastor and I would go out on visitation, and Brother James and I would go out some. I was very diligent about that, but over the last few weeks, I had gotten really slack. The tent meeting sort of revived that, and I hope it did in some of your lives too. And maybe some of the things that we talk about tonight in the fullness of the Spirit here will help invigorate you even more and get you going. So if you've got your Bibles in your hand, look at chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 14. We'll begin there, and we'll get started tonight. Let's stand, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, wake." Well, let me start that again. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open your Word. Now, Lord, you know I need your Spirit. Lord, you know I need your fullness right now. Lord, thank you for what you've already done in my life. And God, I pray that as I present this message, it would be exactly what you would have said, and Lord, nothing else. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Paul is writing to the Ephesians right here, and the first thing that he says is, wake up. He says, wake up. It says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, most commentators will agree right here that Paul is probably quoting something that was a Hebrew poem or even perhaps an early church hymn here. Now, it's taken from the Scriptures back in Isaiah in chapter 60. But Paul is quoting this in a specific way, and he says that if we will wake up, if we will get up and get energized, Christ will give us light. He's given us a promise right off the bat here. He says, if we will awake, Christ will give us light. Now, this whole section of Scripture, Paul is talking about a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a way that Christians really ought to go about in their life, living, thinking, experiencing what God has to offer. And so when Paul says, wake up, he's talking to a group of Christians that he knows are having a hard time. They've gotten a little slack. They've gotten a little laid back. They've gotten a little comfortable with their Christian standards. And you know, it's very easy for us just to get comfortable where we are. We want to stay in our little box, as we want to call it, and not reach out and do anything much about it. But Paul says, hey, if we'll wake up, if we'll get out of that slumber, if we'll rise up from the dead as we are, Christ will give us light. Now, it's interesting also that Paul knows a little bit about Christ giving him light, considering how he was on that road to Damascus and that bright light shined out. I mean, he knew a little bit about Christ illuminating. And as we see that, you know, Wouldn't it be great if we needed to know what God wanted us to do in our life? And we were really compelled that we wanted to do it, and there would just be a bright light shine out of heaven, and a voice would just ring out and say, Norma, this is what I want you to do. Oh, that would be great, right? I mean, that'd be perfect. We wouldn't have to worry about, what does the Bible say about that? You know, we wouldn't have to worry about, I don't remember what the preacher said. It would be just simple. But then that would make us more like robots. That would make us more of no individual will whatsoever. That would make us total control, which might not be such a bad idea when it comes to the Spirit. But Paul says if we would wake up, then He would give us light. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to wake up. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to walk wise. Look what it says. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly gives the idea that you pay close attention to every step you take. It gives the idea that every detail that you, in the steps that you take, you understand. I used to have a friend, and I'd go over to his house and play a lot. And his dad raised cows. They had a big pasture. They had a lot of cows out there in that pasture. One of the most fun places to play on that whole farm was the old barn. The old barn was on the other side of the pasture. So I'd go over there to play, and we'd jump that fence, and we would run across the pasture over there to that barn. Because there was a bull out there in that pasture too, and we wanted to get to the barn before the bull got to us. So we would walk very carefully. We would look very carefully, jump the fence. But we wouldn't just run ripshod across the pasture. We would run very circumspectly. And if you ever played in a pasture, you know why. You're very careful about where you step and especially where you fall. So the Bible says here that we should walk wisely, circumspectly. We should be looking out where we go. Since the tent meeting, I was telling you that God has really given me more of a burden for soul winning. I've noticed that as I go through my daily life, as I'm walking my Christian life, as I'm living it, I'm looking for opportunities. Now, does that mean that I seize every opportunity? No. No, I still miss them. But I'm looking for them. I'm walking around with tracks in my pocket. I'm pulling up at the gas station saying, hey, Lord, if you want me to witness somebody, have them pull up right here beside me at the gas pump. And sometimes they don't. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not ready, or maybe somebody just out of the will of God decided to get gas on the other end of the gas station. I don't know. But I'm finding myself more and more. There's a young lady that was at the Taco Bell up in Jefferson. Her name was Angel. I mean, how much easier is that to walk in and say, Angel, hey, you know what? I've heard a lot about you. And got a conversation started. But anyway, I was able to give her a track. I was able to share a little bit with her. She's was a Christian. She goes to a church somewhere. She never would tell me where, so I was kind of suspect about it. But the fact is, I'm looking for those opportunities. I'm walking circumspectly. I'm looking out. I'm paying close attention to the details which are around me. You know, we think when we think about that word, most of the time we're thinking about the dangers that are all around us. But it's not walking in danger as much as it's walking paying attention. Now, the preacher was giving us that story the other day about him driving up that mountain road. I was sitting back there behind Casey. I was watching her the whole time. I could see her head just doing this. I know she was laughing at some of the things he was saying. But it was interesting. Preacher, I bet you were driving very circumspectly. You know, but there are a lot of things out there that when we think of it, first thing we think of is danger. But walking circumspectly isn't necessarily in danger. It's walking, paying attention to what's going on around us. Now look at what it says here. It says that we should do it as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, redeeming the time, we understand that. I mean, time is valuable to us, is it not? I mean, how many of us have a job that has vacation time? We want to make sure we keep up with every minute of it, right? I've got 61 hours left I've got to take between now and the end of the year. I plan on taking every last minute of it. They called me back in September. They said, you've got 72 hours of vacation. How much have you planned on taking? I said, can I take it all? I thought maybe they were looking to get some of it back. They said, no, that'll be fine. I said, well, then I'll take it all. I've just always wanted to be that way. I've always thought that the easiest thing for companies to do, if they're going to build you up to 5 weeks of vacation, why don't they give it to you at the right off the bat? Just go ahead and give you the 5 weeks and lower it down as you go when you don't have time to take off anymore. You know, those first few years, you got plenty of time. Take those 5 weeks off. And then, you know, by the time you've been there 20 years, you got 2 weeks and you're back right. So, walking circumspectly and redeeming the time. We're taking care of our time. We're looking at the value of our time. That's one of the things about soul winning. That's one of the things, understanding that the time is short. Understanding that we don't know. We know we're not given another second. There's not another breath that we may take. And, you know, some of us sit out there and we go, yeah, well, I'm just not good at soul winning. I just wouldn't know what to say to somebody. I wouldn't know how to give them a track and know what to do if they ask me any questions. I don't either. You know, that's not what it's all about. You know, the Lord will never put you in a situation that He's not willing to help you in. And so if you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to give this track to somebody, and you hand that thing out, that's not going to be the person probably that takes it and say, well, where'd Cain get his wife? It's not going to be something of that nature. God is help. He wants to help you. He wants you to be a soul winner. It's His desire for you to do that. I hear a missionary back there hollering, that's right. That's right, isn't it? But we ought to be willing to do that everywhere we go. We need to be a missionary right here. There ought not be, there's a mission field, you know, right outside the doors of Crooked Creek. And we ought to be knocking on those doors. We ought to be talking to people. We're in stores every day. My wife was handing out tracts all day Friday while she was shopping. That's the way it is. That's what soul winning is all about. Now, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you know, how are we going to understand what the will of the Lord is if we don't take the Lord's Word and study it? You know, we wonder about, well, what are we going to do if they ask us that question? Well, you know, it's all right here. There's not a question they can't ask, that they're going to ask you that's not somewhere in the pages of this Bible. You need to take it and say, Lord, this is Your Word. I'm going to hold it. It's precious to me. I'm going to read it. I want to know what You have to say. You know, if we want to get to know the Lord, there He is. Everything about Him, His entire character is written down within the pages of these two covers. There's nothing more that we need to know about the Lord. It's not in these pages. It goes on to say then, in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're going to wake up, we're going to walk wisely, and now we're going to be well filled. If I'm filled with the Spirit, how does it happen? When does it happen? How do I get it? The day you accept Christ as your Savior. The day you take salvation is the day you get it. Now, how much do you get? We talked about this morning. Every bit of it. Every bit. You know, when Andrew and I got married, August 25th, 1984, yes, I remember. That was right, wasn't it, honey? Make sure. in case we have to go into prayer real quick so I can escape. But when we stood there at that out in the botanical gardens and got married and said our vows, and we both said, I do. I didn't even have to twist her arm. But we said, I do. When we went home, I got the whole thing. She went with me all the way. Everything. I mean, I didn't just go, okay, baby, I'm going to take his arm now. I'll be back for the rest of you later. I mean, how silly would that have been? But the fact is, when we get the Spirit, we get it all. Every last bit of it. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Galatians 4:6 says, and because we are sons, God hath sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we are sons, He has given us His Spirit. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. We didn't have to buy it. We didn't have to merit it. He gave it to us. Now, where do we get the idea that it's partial? We get the idea it's partial when we don't read fully what God has to say in His Word. We look at a verse like this and says, well, it says be filled, so that means I must need to be refilled. I need to be filled up again. But that's not what it means. It's not what it says at all. As a matter of fact, the word there is like a continual filling. It's like you went to the gas station and you put the nozzle over in your tank and hit it on there and you just let it run forever. Now, I used to have a truck and you probably could have done that and it probably would have never overflowed if you left the truck running. But it's not a piece here, a piece there. It's a continual filling. It's what we need to be looking for. Now, why do we look at this and we say, well, I'm not exactly sure why it is that? Well, let's break this verse down just a little bit more. In verse 18 it says, and be not drunk with wine. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you in here would say that drinking is wrong? Pretty much everybody. How many of you would say that not only drinking is wrong, I would even classify it as sin? How many would say that? Yeah. Pretty much everybody here again would say the same thing. All right, well, there's a problem in this verse then because it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but. What does that little word mean? Somebody has their English class, tell me what that little word is. What is that? But is a? A conjunction. What does a conjunction do? It does. It connects. It takes two parts of a sentence, takes two statements of a sentence and joins them together that are grammatically the same. In other words, it takes two things that are equal and joins them together. So we see this little section here. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, if we say that to be drunk is wrong, and even a sin, then is it not wrong for a Christian to be not filled with the Spirit? I mean, almost to the point that it's sin for a Christian not to be filled with the Spirit? Now we say, but Ricky, you said just a minute ago, when I get saved, I get the Spirit. I get all I'm going to get of it. You know, we got to think about the way our minds are working. Because I had to put it together in my mind and say, well, I don't understand here, Lord. I'm kind of confused. I've got my heart and I'm filled. I was talking about Dr. Hudson a little while ago. He made a statement. When he was talking about being filled with the Spirit at one time, he said, you know, the problem that he had is he looked at his heart to be like a receptacle. So like a glass or something of that nature. And then he thought of the Spirit of being filled with the Spirit, he thought of the Spirit more like a jug of water that they could just, God would just pour a little bit in and pour a little bit more and pour a little bit more until his glass was full. But he said, how does that happen? Why would God only give me a little piece here and a little piece there? I wouldn't understand that. And then he said he realized that his heart wasn't a glass. His heart's not a receptacle. His heart's a pump. For something to be in his heart, it's got to be in his blood and be infused into him. And the Holy Spirit's not a jug of water. He's a person. Now, if we think about a person, if we want to get to know a person, if we want to have a person inside of us, we've got to have a relationship. It's not something that just can be poured in. It's not something that can be just gradually increased. It's a, we got to know Him type thing. You know, far too long, we've de-emphasized knowing the Spirit. And we've done it out of the fear that somebody might look at us as being Pentecostal, looking at us in fear that we may be fanatics, because we're stressing the need to know the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, we got to know it. You know, Christ said, to honor the Father, you've got to honor the Son. And if you don't show honor to the Son, you don't give honor to the Father. By that same principle, Christ went to heaven, and who did He send to us? The Spirit. And if we don't honor the Spirit, aren't we dishonoring the very One who gave us salvation? See, if not by not honoring the Son is not honoring the Father who sent Him, then by not honoring the Spirit, we are not honoring the Son who sent Him. Every Christian should be filled with the Spirit. This filling is a continual fullness, and it's more than a heart full of God. It's a constant, complete filling. Now, what do I mean? I mean every part of our being in service for our Lord through the Spirit. Our minds, our hands, our feet to take us places. Our entire makeup is surrendered to the use of the Spirit. That is the fullness of the Spirit. Nothing short of that is fullness. Say you had a friend. Now, there's probably no one in here with a friend like this. But say you have a friend who owns a beach house. Probably at the most pristine beach in the world. Okay? Nice condo. And you go to their home and they've invited you and said, hey, I want you to bring your whole family. It's not going to cost you a thing. I want you to stay the whole week in our condo. Wow. So you gather up everything quickly. You know, you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. You gather everything and you get over there to their house and man, they take you through this house and it is gorgeous. I mean, oil paintings on the wall, tile floors, marble floors. I mean, everything about this place is just great. And they carry all through it. Oh, and look, you can see out the back deck. There's the beach. Man, it's just beautiful white sands. Hey, I'm going to take you to your room now. And so they take you down the stairs. And they take you in this little bedroom, and you look in there and you go, well, it's, you know, it's fine. It's kind of modest, a little small, not a whole lot of, you know, expense down here. You notice there's one little window, you know, about a foot tall and maybe 2 feet wide. You really can't see the beach from there because it's right almost level with the ground. So you see the grass growing up right there. And they go, well, we're glad you got to come with us. And they lock you in that room. Now, they fulfill their promise, right? They ask you to come and spend the week. They didn't say you were going to have run of the house. They just said, come spend the week. You know, we do the same thing with the Spirit. Lord Jesus, will you come into my heart and save me? Hey, but you stay right there if you don't mind. I got other things I need to do with my hand. I got other things I'm thinking about. You know, I'm a pretty busy guy. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. I'm saved. Thank you for that. You know, where I signed the fire insurance policy. And we limit the use of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But to be full of the Spirit, to have that fullness of the Spirit is to say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours, head to toe. What would you have me to do? Who would you have me to talk to? Where would you have me to go? I've got friends that I've talked to that have gotten up in the middle of the night and gone to Kroger just because they felt the urge that God wanted them to go witness to somebody. Because He did that, because He got up in the middle of the night, His wife thought He was crazy. He said, honey, do you need anything at Kroger? She said, no, it's almost midnight. He said, well, I don't know what it is, but I really feel like the Lord wants me to go to Kroger. So he went to Kroger looking for somebody to be a witness to. Walked all through the store, couldn't find a soul. Walked back out, two guys, two young teenage boys, sitting on the tailgate of a pickup truck. He went out there, talked to them about the Lord, and both of them got saved. That's a man full of the Spirit. We heard the story of Dr. Hudson with the gas can. Y'all all heard that. How he went out looking for somebody, and the preacher even got to do that himself. Full of the Spirit. Didn't know what the Lord had planned for him. Didn't know what the Spirit was going to do. But willing to say, whatever. Wherever, Lord. So many times, we'll stand in that line and we'll go, all right, when I get there, I'm going to give them a tract. When I get there, I'm going to say something. When I get there, I'm going to be a witness. And then that lady in front of you with, you know, 24 items in the 12-item line steals your joy. And so by the time you get there, you can't really be a witness now. Because of your attitude. Now, I'm looking at y'all, but I'm seeing me. Okay? That guy that blows by you on the highway out there, and the next thing you know, you're sitting beside him at the gas pump. Yeah, he needs a track. Wrong attitude, right? Not full of the Spirit, more full of self. So how do we go about it? How do we do it? That's easy. That's easy. Lord, fill me. Lord, I've taken these hands. I've used them for me. I've got a lot of things on my mind, Lord, but I want You on my mind. I've got a lot of things going on, but God, I want to serve You. More than anything. I want to serve the Lord. And it's taken me a long time to figure that out. Because I thought a heart full was good enough. I thought that was safe. That makes me not a fanatic. I can be religious when I want to. Careful. Easy to quench the Spirit as well. Oh, but to be filled. To be filled with the Spirit to say, Lord, whatever You would have me to do, I'm willing. That's what it takes. Willingness. The Lord wants us to have a willing spirit. He doesn't want to control our lives. He doesn't want to make us do something that we don't want to do. He wants us to want to. You know, the Spirit has a desire against the flesh. He has a desire for us to fulfill what He wants us to do. He has a strong urging that He is saying, please speak for me. Please be my light. Urging, pleading, begging. And yet many times, in our own selves, I can't. When in reality it's, I won't. We all can. We all can. If we're depending on the One who enables us. If we're leaning on the Spirit, if we're full of the Spirit, we can. God has given us an opportunity. And the window is closing. Because time is short. We don't know where anybody in this room will be tomorrow. We don't know where that person we see at the gas pump tomorrow will spend eternity. And what if eternity comes while you're standing there? Shouldn't we have that same desire, that same urging that God has that all be saved within us? That we speak out and say, I just want to share the Lord with you. If you could stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I'll ask the musicians to come forward.